Enjoying, we start to move down through these layers. And what is from Peter in 6:17 is crowning all the fourth out of the five coverings, which has to do with family members and persecutions and attachments. This is what the consciousness of this letter are usually directed at something that we identify with. And family is very much something that we identify with. But other examples could be country. Maybe if you have a certain type of job, you would identify with others who have that type of job. So in this way, prana means the life force, so we are identifying with the life force in others. So that's why we have this rather interesting reaction that we see that a grandfather makes his father, and then you have a son or a grandson, and you are thinking that this is the same person, simply through cross-action. That's the problem when we're dealing with Mahamaya. The mind has become stronger than the intelligence, and that means that the attachments take prominence over the actual reality of things. So we will be attached to our family members, and then we will use the intelligence to justify that attachment. So my father had a big nose, so probably when he died, he was thinking that because he had a small nose, and my son has such a small nose, that's my father. It's perfectly logical. It just has nothing to do with reality. So this is what is happening in these lower nodes in this more covered space, is that we find some kind of logic to justify our attachments. So for this, we take shelter. There's something that's wrong in the material world, so when that goes, something goes wrong, we take shelter. And what do we take shelter of? At the lowest level, we just take shelter of the senses. So, whatever I can enjoy with my senses, that is what I will go for. This is a big problem because we're not the controller and the enjoyer. So there will always be some shortage. The senses are the focus, so they're never satisfied, which means that they will go on demanding. And as far as the senses, lose contact of the sense object, the experience is over. So that doesn't work very well. It's very purifying, but unfortunately, the intelligence is also not working very well. So you need a lot of purification on this level. So that goes on. Our primary level discussing here, we call that the extended center education. So we are enjoying two other senses, family members, country, and whatever. And that experience can go on as you can relate to an experience for the rest of your life. This is the cliche of entering college when you did all these crazy wild things. You can go on tasting that in the mind for forever, not forever, of course, but as long as this body lasts. So it seems like it's a bona fide thing. Unfortunately, these people have a tendency to leave their body. As we say, the mortality rate is 100%. So then this concocted idea comes up to maintain this attachment, they have to protect it somewhere else, and that becomes the son of the grandson. Above that, we will see the manama and dhamma, in other words, we will see the shelter of our intelligence in the form of religious activities, or religion in some sense. We're not necessarily thinking about religion in spiritual sense, but at least in the sense of connecting with something more. You have the realization of dharma is on this level. So you have some kind of realization that there's something bigger going on here than me. On the level of prana right here with the family members, we want them to be happy, but it's basically only because they make you happy. I love the way you make me feel. So it's still self-centered. And on minimal, that doesn't last anymore because the realization that the consciousness is now so empowered that there is an acceptance and a realization that, wait a minute, I'm not actually doing all these things that are going on. There must be some sort of higher principle at work. Whatever it may be, some higher principle is at work because it's not totally random what happens. I'm not in control, so there must be some other kind of set of rules. Right? Dharma means there is a proper way of doing things. You use the toothbrush to brush your teeth and the paper in the wall, it's not the other way around. You can, and it's usually something that you can draw, but the rest is stitching these things, and I'll just go clean only with the toothbrush or with some weird things because they're at the lower levels, right? But here is actually an acceptance and an understanding that there is actually a proper way to do things, and if I follow that, then my life will be much more nicer. And then, going back up to Vichamo, there is also a realization that, wait a minute, I am here and everything keeps changing, so I must be different from magic. The realization of the soul. And then finally, on top of that is a realization, the new realization of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so you said that Krishna obviously will give you the eternal benefit, and that is our proper constitutional decision in life. So the other four are samsara. That's the wheel of life. The pious person is doing well, he's attached, and everything is working out nicely, and he becomes attached to that nice situation. And then he starts to feel good, and I'm actually doing pretty good. Look at that, over there, he's an nonsense. And I'm actually getting a so nice result, and I'm doing pretty well. And then the piety kind of stops because the false ego grows on that. And then he starts to be weak for the legs, so he starts to hanker more, and the passion comes from that, and he starts to go down. And suddenly you're getting more gross reactions of your absent piety. And before you know it, you're only the fire. That's when we say, Maya, she covers and then she throws. She covers you with false ego, and then she throws you into the other, and you end up there, and what happens, you know? And then we figure out, okay, whatever I was doing, it's not working. Maybe I should just sit back a little, think about this, what am I actually going wrong? And you start to treat people better, because you see, I'm actually not that great. And the piety comes back, and you start to get good reactions, you get other things, and suddenly you have a job, and you have a family, and it's going very nice, you get a promotion, and the whole thing is very beautiful again, and you start to think, well, maybe I'm doing pretty good. So that just goes down and down and down, because you're not being drawn out. You only can be drawn out if you have a higher principle, that principle is obviously the enforcement. So, what is it that we grabs out of this samsara? The way we get in is because love of God only makes sense if there is an option of not loving God. Love has no meaning if it's the only option. It only has meaning if you choose it. Right? So, unfortunately, a few of us chose benefit. That option, inherent option in the spirit soul of Purushottama, the idea of being controlled and enjoyed, some of us choose that to get a Krishna, and we say, well, he has done what he's doing, that was great, and let me see if I can do that. And then after this about within us. Well, because we have no contamination at that point, we can kind of get away with it, so we can grow up. And he's really good at creating and controlling. So then that covers us in the start of this new process. And the whole cosmic manifestation is a facility for us to reform ourselves. Krishna expands us on a Vishnu, who grants us a Sadashiva, and that hits the Pranam, which is the Brahma Jyoti, which then gets agitated and transforms into the Mahat, where you have all the material elements, and really have to talk to you about the difference between Kabbalah is that Kabbalah is just the qualities of Krishna. There's no false ego. It's just, you know, Brahmaposa. It's just a dance. Or it's just the qualities of Krishna. So you can receive Krishna's qualities and see Kabbalah, and see Brahmaposa. But when you add a little false ego and defeat us, then it becomes not us. Then it separates and it becomes distinct from Krishna. You add a little more false ego, and then you get intelligence. And you add a little more false ego, then you get the mind. A little more false ego, then you get the senses, starting with ether, which can be, which can contain sound, which we can hear with our ears. And you add a little more false ego, then you get air, which can be felt through the touch. And then you get, you have more false ego, then you get this element of form, as in fire, which you can perceive with your eyes. You get more false ego, you get water, which can be tasted at the time, and you get, finally, more false ego, and you get the contract maximum amount of false ego in earth, which can smell the nose. And it just doesn't go any further than that. So this whole thing is divided into three energies that are dominant. This this whole cosmic manifestation, which is it takes the false ego. That's the whole thing. It's false ego. In different degrees, that's actually what the elements are. So there is Brahma and Kriya and Jnana. So Brahma just means matter. That's the earth matter. And Kriya means the creative, active principle. And then Jnana means knowledge of how things are operating. So this corresponds with, of course, the three modes of material nature. Brahma meaning ignorance, because that's just the head of this matter. Kriya meaning passion, because it's the activity, something is happening, results of the game. And Jnana meaning goodness, because there is some kind of realization of what is actually the principles behind this. We get attracted to the Brahma because that is false ego. We are in here because of false ego, so that is attracted to false ego. So if you see materially successful people, what is the example of their success? Why do we see it, say that they're successful? It's because of the car, it's because of the clothes, it's because of whatever these things, that's the Brahma, that's what the intensified material success has. The Kriya and the Jnana are used to get that Brahma. So that's the problem. We're pulling in the wrong direction. We're using our intelligence and our piety to get this material energy, which is one mind possible. So it doesn't work. It breaks down because it's temporary, it's dead matter, it doesn't generate anything. And then, what do we do? Well, finally, we will turn around. It's just a matter of how far we go down before we realize that. So we need knowledge, not just material knowledge, but actually transcendental knowledge. In fact, there is only transcendental knowledge. There is transcendental knowledge, and then there's covered transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge covered by false ego. That's what we call material knowledge. Because, I mean, the car works the same, the boat is driving it, or the car is driving it. It's not mechanics don't change, but what's the point? That changes because of false ego. So if you're dwelling, you're going to the temple because you want to say darshan of the Lord and use Krishna high book. Your economy, you want to go to the job because you can make a lot of money, you get a big house and some fancy women, not so good. The car can take you there, but what's the destination? That's the difference. Because one of the destination is going down into the forest of enjoyment, and then the other destination will be up towards the spiritual, the actual uncovered happiness, which, of course, is eternal because it's not conditioned by the material modes. So we have to figure out how do we gain knowledge. We have three methods. There's perception through the senses, there's anumati through intelligence and logic, and then there's chakra through the heart. And this is where the cloudy world and the worldly world oppose, I guess. There's no room for compromise here. Recently, chakra is the authority, it is the proper way of gaining knowledge. And the theories will say that perception, you know, sense perception, is the real way of gaining knowledge. So these are appeals. You can think it's a way of gaining knowledge, but ultimately it has to lean on either the senses or authority. Because logic, you have to feed it with something in order to work. So when you get that, it has to come from somewhere. It doesn't just magically appear, so it has to be fed from the senses or the some kind of authority. So we take chakra. What is all the chakra? We feed that into the mind, into the logic, and we use that to apply it in our life, into time, place, and circumstances. And then by what we see, we can see if we're doing good or not so good by if it's corresponding with what we want to achieve. The theory is, he sees something, he manipulates with it, and he uses his logic on that, and then supposedly he becomes the authority on what has happened. But we have some defects. I mean, we're in illusion, we're colored, we don't know everything that's going on. We make mistakes, and we have imperfect senses, and most of all, we have the choosing propensity, because when we're in illusion, we have, as I was saying before, we have this dealing with the mind that's become very strong and has anger and passion. So there's always some kind of result we want. Not so long ago, a research scientist from Copenhagen University, I'm studying there also, she was kicked out because it was found out that she had forged many of her results. She had gotten literally millions in funds for her research, and she was driving a fancy car, and she was being interviewed for the news and everything. And she decided that. And because the results she was getting was not corresponding with what she wanted. And it was not that what she had set out to achieve. So she just made it. So of course the university says, no, it can't be. And then they said, oh, well, maybe it is. And then, of course, they hired her, and now everything is back to normal. Nobody thinks about that anymore. And nobody's thinking, it seems like, thinking, wait a minute, maybe this is an all-pervading principle in this field. You know, people who have submitted an interview, where actually instead of an interview, there was a Mexican salsa music, just because it was just an hour before they had it. Mexican salsa music. But it was an hour before they had to submit the paper, and they didn't have the interview, they never made it, so they just submitted Mexican salsa music and wrote interview, and that day, nobody ever said it. And then they passed. So this is how it actually works. It seems like fine when you look on paper, you do the research and you experiment and you get the results, and then, but in actuality, that's not how it is. This is chakra. This is authority. This part of the time. This is only the eternal principles, and it has been tested 3 times by literally hundreds of millions, if not billions, of astronauts, who have all achieved self-realization by following what is in here. And there is no sense of possession, and there is no sense of ownership of the Bible, and because it is transcendental. That's why it works. The reason we are in trouble is because we have false ego elements. That means we see the world upside down. That means that what we are trying to do to get out, that's what gets us in. So we have this attachment to family. It's interesting to see that just 3 verses 14, it says, in this material world, when the conditioned soul cannot arrange for its own needs, despite exploiting others, he tries to exploit his own father or son, taking away that which is its possessions, although they may be very insignificant. If he can take other things from his father or son or other relatives, he's prepared to give them all kinds of trouble. So when they're even respecting and when they're gone, we miss them so much that we make up some kind of story that they're still here. That's material consciousness. It doesn't matter where we are, we want something else. So this is the fallen nature of influence. That's actually what it is. We honor on the track of being our family because we are compared to Krishna. We are dependent on Krishna, that's the feminine principle. But when we apply that on matter, it gets reversed. We should apply it on Krishna, so we should become spiritual. That's why when we're in the material world, the tapa or the masculine principle becomes prominent. Does that make sense? We have to set aside the lesson because we are in illusion, so we have to make sure that we understand correctly what is on these pages. That's the masculine principle. And then when we have achieved that, we will be able to obtain our channel, which is as feminine compared to Krishna, because we have realized that we're feminine. We still think we're masculine, that's why we act in the opposite. So the idea is that we should follow the Tapa and not our own tiny brain, because what the brain comes up with is very faulty. The answer is the only way to do that. Any other philosophy has some working principles, and these working principles are also found in the Tapa. And then there are other principles that are not working. So, say like Buddhism, there's some similarity with the Vaishnava way of doing things, and understanding that we're not the body, that these material hindrances and perceptions will bind us instead of liberating us. But the prime weakness that goes into this whole material world in the first place is still there. This belief about this idea that I'm in control is still there because it's just an attachment to detachment. By my meditation, I will reach the state of nirvana, and by removing the material, I will be happy. So there's no real service attitude. So that's why it gets a little bit fun. Because you are met a Buddhist. I was staying in an apartment because I was preparing for some exams. So I was just staying there, studying, Krishna waiting for an answer. Then for a few days, a Buddhist was staying in my apartment also. So he was very interested because he was from Hong Kong. And so he was asking, I was there, chanting, meditation. Oh, so nice, so nice. He was very sort of very nice. I was okay with the talk, yes, he was a Buddhist, and what's his name, and oh, my name, Hong Kong, because my name in Mandarin, I mean, either Hunter or Hunter, and that's what I want to be either. So that was such a condition that it could mean either being Hunter or Hunter, and naturally he wanted to be the Hunter. So I was just thinking for myself, it's funny how you have a doctrine that there's only one doctrine in Buddhism, that's Ahimsa, non-violence, and he chooses to be Ahimsa. So maybe you can see that not always is the application of Buddhism very firm. Because the application of Buddhism usually is quite thorough. We get up early, we chant Hare Krishna, we try to do it in somewhat of a pure consciousness. We attend morning programs. I mean, we are actually hyper religious compared to Islam. Imagine a Christian person being a southern or a medium. I mean, there's also some nonsense going on as always, but we're doing some pretty hardcore asylum compared to the rest of the world. This has been inside the peace of the Nana. The same with the public policy saying, very nice devotees. But the devotees, they don't have any sign. They were looking, I was chanting a lot of rounds through that road face, and they were looking at me like, what is he doing? You know, because the city would be chanting. I didn't hear them after one mantra. But they're in one sense, they're for the devotees, because they don't do anything that's not related to Krishna. It's all the Krishna. But they're not doing any sign, and it becomes a little easy, you know. It becomes a little sentimental. So, we as residual, those of us who are from the West, we are better conditioned to the lower modes, we're doing exceptionally well. So I just want to read it because it's supposed to be the people realizing the soul. But I think it's on a very low level at Anima, just realizing the senses. And he was on how this cruise from Hong Kong, he was actually on a day cruise. And so it's just the application of this importance in this just non existent, you know? And yeah, anyway. So Vedanta is valuable, or the value of Vedanta is realized in its application. That's all we have to do. If we give up our own idea and shift to the Bhagavatam, what are we doing? Can I trace it back to the Bhagavatam? Because everything is in there. Reality is the Bhagavatam. That's what it is. And then, coming to the circumstance, we influence that inside. That we have authority in two ways. Good, because he is a direct authority, and he can tell us the things that we don't see ourselves. And then the sadhus, because they are in different circumstances, and they have some reason to be absolute truth, and can give us some feedback on our own situation. So in this way, we make sure that we are not being overcome by Maya. Instead of Maya is 4 times as strong as we are. It doesn't matter how much we go to the gym, she's still 4 times as strong. So we need to be connected. Otherwise, we'll just be covered and thrown into the forest of ignorance. And then we have to get out of here, right? So yes, so this is why we're using the Bhagavatam, not some other scripture, because the Bhagavatam is 100% from start to end about pure devotional service. We could all at least have a hankering to try and experience the world through the consciousness of Srila Prabhupada. And we couldn't even imagine what that would be like, but we can, at least we can see that it must be good, right? Prabhu, as I was saying last year, not long ago, this gigantic colossus of the temple, that's one man, you know, one man with 40 rupees, because the 40, 60 rupees, you know, anyway, you know. And he did it. Why? Because he is in Grand Vrindavan. He's not in the material world. And you see the footage of him sitting in Thompson Square Park with this little younger, sometimes grown, and he's just chanting the whole name. And around him, these crazy, weird people dancing in funny ways. And imagine that, 7 years old, alone in New York, and he just keeps pushing and he does it. We should at least have the hankering to get there. Right? Never mind that we're unqualified, of course we're unqualified, but that doesn't matter, because if we just keep pushing, the mercy will come. That's what the conscious mercy means. Everybody gets it. But the question is, what do you do with it? If you reciprocate with it, that allows for more mercy. If you do nothing, then it stops, of course. You put someone a present and they ignore it, then you're not going to give another present because it's instant. So if you reciprocate with that mercy by throwing ourselves at Krishna consciousness, at Krishna, and naming this false ego, then there will be more mercy. So this is why we're reading Bhagavatam, not Mahabharata. Mahabharata is perfect, it's faster, but Mahabharata is more along Dharma's master, you know, Dharma and Satyama, Moksha. That's the idea that you have Dharma, you grow up, you learn the rules of this place. Then you have Artha, that is expansion, you expand into family life, this is Artha, you're doing this here, the family and all that. And then you have Kama, desire comes, and you enjoy these facilities, and then you realize, wait a minute, I'm not happy. So then you seek Moksha, and then you become a spiritual person. They say, why waste a whole lifetime doing that? You don't know how, I mean, we're already pretty confused, so why are we going this whole deal when we want to get out anyway? Why are we going down to get out? That's no. But Any verse in the Bible time is just about pure devotional service. Any topic is just about wherever you are, connected purely to Krishna. Forget about all of these hankerings you have, all these material desires. They will not enter happiness. There is no happiness. There is a seeming happiness. This is why it says, in this way, he feels the happiness that one sometimes feels in a dream. In a dream, it's not, it doesn't exist. It's not real. You have an idea that something will make us happy. And that, for that 11th of a second that we attain, that is, you could call it happiness, but then it just moves back to your situation. You get the Ferrari, now you have a Ferrari, no one. Maybe those have to be paid. Insurance, you find a ton of new friends, not one of them with Ferrari. It just moves back to your situation, and there's nothing in it. That's what we say, that when the sense of it loses touch, when the sense is loose touch with the sense of it, the experience is gone, like that. Now, when you are able to, through the Bhagavatam, release yourself of the illusion of the Shakti, and connect yourself with the illusion of the Shakti mind, that is Krishna, the energetic behind the energy, then you're connected to the source. And it's just a gift that keeps on giving. You know? The mercy flows, the happiness flows. It said that the story shines as bright as the sun. Well, it's so covered that sometimes you can hardly see when you sit behind your eyes, you know. But as we uncover ourselves, we can see that the light is there. You often get this Swami's look at us and say that we look young, like Radhana Swami. He looks like he's 40, I heard someone say, and he's 60 or something. But that's because the light is there. That's the spirit. It's not the body, it's the spirit. You're just someone. Little homeless and they're walking around and they didn't get proper sleep and they were out drinking last weekend, you know. It's like, are you 58? You know, this is how we perceive it, because we're not actually seeing the body, we're seeing the soul. That's actually what we're seeing. And the more covered the soul is, the more tired it gets, and the more we're not actually seeing the person. So this is why we're sitting with the Bhagavatam. We don't change it like, oh, we've done some Bhagavatam, let's do something else. No, because this is every situation possible in material existence, and how to get out, how to release ourselves from it. So now we're going through, this is one of the, you could say, holding the chapters. I'm actually surprised that you can argue that there's not very easy, and this is one of the things. But many other devotees don't really appreciate these because they can get quite heavy. But the only reason they're heavy is because we look at it wrong. The happiness that we get from family, that is not, that is not a problem. The happiness is not a problem. The problem is that we think that it's the family that is giving it. It's Krishna giving it through the family. Any happiness is Krishna giving it through some kind of medium. Either a good quality and bad quality. Obviously, spiritual activities, chanting and worshipping the deity, listening to the katana of Krishna, this is very, very high quality. It's not dependent on anything. Family is a lesser quality, but it's still there. It's part of that. It has the ashram, it's a bona fide ashram. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is that when the attachments take us over and we start to think, that person is generating our happiness. Then we forget Krishna, and then we go down into these lower modes, and it's a long way up. It can take millions of lifetimes. So that's why it's very important, now that we're here, that we take it seriously, and that we apply it. We apply the knowledge. That's the difference between a scholar and a devotee. We apply the knowledge. If we don't apply the knowledge, it's dry, it's dead, it's useless. You have to apply it. So, we are fortunate because we're in nature. We're surrounded by devotees, and we can see the examples of the self-healing souls. And we should seek out that association because the principle of iron and fire. What we associate with, we become. And these personalities that come through Mayapur and that reside in Mayapur very attractive. So we should see that as another association and learn from it, because then it will grow up on us and we will be able to give it to others, and that's the secret. I'm sorry that you said it. It's a part of the system. You know what the secret is? Preaching is more important than action, because preaching generates action. But it doesn't necessarily generate preaching. Preaching generates action. And there's nothing sweeter than seeing someone take to Christian consciousness and start having small realizations that you help bring to the party. And then it's so much better than anything you can feel on your own, you know, just like chanting 64 rounds or even Ramakrishna. This is good, you know, it's good. But seeing that life in someone else's eyes, that's the real next step. So, I think I would end with two requests. Maybe we have a question here, and also we have 5 minutes left, so if you have anyone else comments, just let me know. See you next week. Of course.
Because in the three-volume chapter and perception, of course, in my culture, they don't recognize it, they don't accept it. But if we investigate, we will see that even under the material planes, that is the most important way of being knowledge. Because we will even know 2 and 2 is 4, and how to speak, and how to act, if somebody has it for us. So we can see both the material and spiritually.
It's true. Thank you for that comment. It's an alternative principle. If you keep not have chapter, you can't run away from it. So even though they say that they do, presently they don't.
The thing is, the economy, Lama, is it true? If I don't think correctly,
Yes. I mean, these are, there's a seamless transition between them because all things are going on at once. It's not like someone beats them or beats and has senses, right? He feels hungry. So they're all going on, but the reinforcements really take place, but of course, that can also be a little blurry. So, yes, there is a kind of gray area. But it would usually connect primary with stuff like economics, justice, morality, ethics, these things that seem like very, it seems like dharma, because we should all be happy. But it's all these, many people will leave me alone so that I can be happy. It's not actually because I want everybody to be happy, it's just because so then I can excuse myself why I enjoy myself. And we can all agree on some rules so that we can all enjoy ourselves. So it can seem like it's a religion, but it's not. That's why if we are being heavily, which we sometimes are, we see that we say that any other philosophy in the world, technically it doesn't get beyond prana one, because it still has that proof about that prana. Even Buddhism, Mayavadism, which seemingly would be on Dhyana or dealing with soul, it's only a tool. Dealing with soul is still only a tool to get to my enjoyment and my religious life to protect that. So the seeming situation that you're in is actually only a secondary to your body on the one. So in that sense, yes, it can be disguised as many things.
The idea that I find very intriguing, that we're all feminine.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to preach this to novel audience or people becoming novels or just hearing about Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Do you have any suggestions as to how that can be done successfully?
Yes.
Because people are often offended that, when you're a man, they don't listen to your feminine.
They would not do it. I was just talking about something else. Different Prasad and Arana. This is later.
Okay. Well, you did this talk an hour later, now we're all here for 10 years. How do we reconcile the idea that, okay, there's man and they're superior, more intelligent, they should be class, they should do this, they should be gurus, and women who are also spirit souls, but trapped in a less intelligent body, etc. How do we discriminate in such a way as not, how do you say, minimize the importance of the fair sex? Ultimately, we all are.
Yes.
But we have to distinguish here between Tantra on the absolute plane and Tantra on the material plane. Just being in a material body is an illusion, right? So masculine and feminine, it is a twisted understanding already there.
If they're part of illusion, why do we need in our devotional life, in our society, our Islamic society, our spiritual society, make such a strong discrimination? Some make very, very strong discrimination.
Because we are real. I mean, we're trying to be realistic. We identify with our body. Even though we're devoted, we still identify with it. If someone hits me over the hand, I will say, you hit me. I will not say, you hit me. The head matter that is attached to my supposed chakra is, that's not how we actually work. We are actually in this body. The illusion is how we identify. So, the tool has no value on its own except how you use it. So, if I say, I'm not this power, so I use it to clean my ears, I'm going to have a bad time. Right? So, the fact of the matter is that I'm in someone else is on a human issue, that functions differently. You know, it's very rare we see men getting pregnant. You know, in fact, it's 0%, that's not even an exception. And in the same way that the way our psychic body is functioning, it's just different. The man has three rooms. He has the room of the mind, the room of the intelligence, and the room of the false ego. The woman, she has one room, and these things are going on in that room. And it works for different purposes. So the man, he can go out of the room of the emotions and into the room of the intelligence. And if he's discussing with the woman, she will be able to change from intelligence to emotion or false ego. Now, the man can't do that, so that's why men usually get confused when they're discussing with women. Is there some discussion going on? We don't know because we were just in the room of the intelligence, and then suddenly she's talking about people and family and other individual emotions, and you have to go through that room and then into the room of the mind where the emotions are. But then she's already clear and he's thinking, you know, and he doesn't know what to do. So it just functions different. So because of that, there are different activities that are more suited and less suited, you know.
Well, it's the same way if a woman can change gears that quickly, if she's in a superior position.
That's why we say the man is more intelligent, but the woman is more clever. So the man goes out, he gets all the things, he gets all the nasty work, he comes home, and he does exactly what she says. Much easier. This whole idea that men is better than women, it's just concocted. You won't find it in Buddhism.
So why do we discriminate when it comes to higher levels of communication in our society?
Because we are in the material sphere, and in the material sphere, Tantra is prominent.
Because if there's a spiritual society, why are we lingering on this?
The spiritual society means we're getting out of the material sphere. We're not out yet.
Is there one way to get out? Is to sort of practice a higher level?
No, that's the haka. That's the imitation.
Well, I'm not imitating a Rasa or Krishna. I'm talking about imitating even mundane society where women are recognized as heads of state and so forth. They're taking a prominent position.
Why would you want to be head of state? Well, see, this is the problem. You identify that as valuable. It's only the connection to Krishna that's valuable. Why do you want
to be head of state? I
don't want to be head of state.
But if a woman wants to be head of state, she can do the job, why not let her?
because the feeling of nature is more dependent than the mastery of nature.
Not in every case. That's the true enemy is not in every case. We find women as being recessive, receptive, submissive.
Because the point is that a man is able, because he has these three rooms, he's able to exit the room of the emotions and go into the room of just pure instinct and work on it. So if your head is filled, you will be forced with some very, very uber calm. This is just a heavy place to be. Everybody wants to be very long. It's not just love or awful. And so it's easier for a man to be there because he just shuts off the emotions. The woman can't do that, and she shouldn't do that because that's not what it's about to do with you. So if you want to insist that she should do it anyway, fine, that's okay. I'm just saying it's a waste of time because it has no value on its own.
But this position, say, this is Germany. Germany lost the Second World War about 70 years ago. And yet they've risen to a position of preeminence in the world in terms of economic development.
Yeah.
It's an extremely successful
Walmart.
And the head of their country is a woman. So she must, and her preeminence somehow and another has enabled her to deal with the things that you're telling us that only men don't deal with.
But it's just like the U.S. It's always a man who feels the happiness one sometimes feels in a dream. But, you're saying that women break that they're atheists.
I'm just talking about their ability to manage. And I think, in each time, you see gurus are selected on their ability to manage.
Yeah.
So if they don't even do that management, why are they prevented?
Let's try a different approach. First of all, I don't have an opinion on this. It's not about me. I'm just going by out of time. So if we accept out of time as a dream, we should just do whatever we can see about it and try and find it. Now,
where is it saying about it and we're going to have to agree? Where is it saying about it and we're going to
have to agree with you? Have to agree with you about it. I'm not saying you think me. I'm just saying that there's a certain way because of being a review should be a house tour. So you don't need a traveling process like some masses that we usually have in this one. That format is not very suitable for a masses. Usually, the only, yes, I have this book, this is what I have. At evening, I watch it, in the morning, I take it on again. That usually doesn't, this is usually, it's not something that I don't mind. But here I go to the closet, have 2 minutes hours, and say, I have nothing to wear. I mean, just as a comparison,
that doesn't mean that every room is in the design.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you want to have a space, go for it.
And I don't mean that. There's some animal that we have in mind we can serve every day. They're very, very popular about the design.
Okay, I'm not doing this as far as I know.
Well, that's not like a lot, right? So when you were here, you had a different feeling out every day.
Okay.
There's certain similarities that don't seem to exclude the female gender from taking on
the law. They're not excluding the female gender at all. They're just saying that there are different circumstances that are in the work better with the female gender and other circumstances work better with the male gender. Yeah, they have different roles. Did we notice something when we were going through these coverings? We were describing Ashram by an ashram. Okay? And the body is a sutra, and the body is not in spiritual sense, it's just in the material or the way of organizing ourselves. Food is the sutra. Then, the primal, if it needs to have the dosha, then above that, the religious principles, the protection, we have the shakya, and then in the deeper level, we have the brahmana, and above that, we have the yogi, right? And then more level. So, this is a science. It's not opinion. It's not about do we like women or do we not like women. It's about if you can find a way to position yourself within this system, then the material energy will be the least amount of trouble. And that's how you get out, because trouble means entering, deepening, or limitation. And that means attachment, and that means the risk that at the time of death you will not be thinking of Krishna, you will be thinking about, should I have pursued that drama? So, the only thing that kind of gives this and maybe that, there are not any of them. I'm not a Brahmacharya. I'm spirit soul. And I'm able to avoid because I have to do the Shivan. That's why I have to feedback, because I'm trying to remind myself that I'm not a Brahmacharya. Because if I die thinking I'm a Brahmacharya, I will think I'm a Brahmacharya. I don't want that. So it's like a bit, so the little couple of examples you can't even approach it. No, you can do that. Well, this three hands going up here, this is the topic I was hoping to avoid. For legal questions, you're used to the
point was that he has principles for Tracy, and for Tracy is passive, and for Lucio, the principle is active. So our misunderstanding is that we are the Tunisia, we are active, but actually we are spiritual, we are open preaching, we are passive. And the difference between passive and active is that the passive is being enjoyed, and the action is the enjoyer.
Yes.
So actually there's only one enjoyer, that's Krishna. So we are all active, female in that sense.
Yes.
But in different bodies we say wrong with Krishna, which is crazy.
And just to ask you, I think it's about 10 times more active than I am. So maybe that's why this is an issue for us. Maybe you have a better time than that.
Choice me that when I'm in America, I see how women are dressed like men. They dress very masculine, and they think they're masculine. They want to take masculine roles. They want to be leaders in society. So you can see women taking male hormones and men taking female hormones. So you see a lot of women acting like men and wanting to take like on a male role. So I think that's where all the problem is.
Yes. Really, and I just saw recently that in Facebook now you can pick between 58 different genders. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. You can do all sorts of things. And, you know, I'm not on it, so I don't know. But is it, what's going on? Why do we have this idea? Of course, it's the belief of that. I need to control who I am. I need to control what's going on around me. And that is ultimately what binds us. That's why we're here. So, yeah.
It seems to happen when there's a lot of suppression of women, and we get tired of being suppressed, put down. Then they rebel more and take the man role.
Of course, it's a means for them, because the men are not doing their duty of protecting the women and giving them the facility to function. So then what does the woman do? I mean, then she has to just take matters into her own hands. It's a completely natural, very logical reaction to the whole society being degraded. It used to be that we had extended families that were living many families together, and now after the Second World War, suddenly everybody is living in one family unit. So the man himself to work, what's the woman going to do there? So it's just enjoying the whole day. That's not going to work. Women need variety and some interaction, and of course we should have that. So then she needs to go out on the job market. And also because the income for material things has grown to an extent where they need two incomes. So now the kids suffer. First, the man is doing his duty, then the reaction is that the man and the woman is doing their duty, so now the kids suffer. He's stuck with an iPad. And the whole family structure is sad. So they're right now getting off the land from. So I just know the numbers from Denmark. That it's only flipping a coin every marriage. It's just 50-50 if they need it. Half of those who say, so that's to a part, they end up feeling like, that's not really cool. So the whole structure of society is just, it's breaking down. And it's not the woman's fault, it's actually the man's fault, because if the man is superior, as we say, then he's also responsible. Together, that's the responsibility and the control that goes together. So if you want to fall, you have to share responsibility. That's just logic. When you come to live by freedom and the rest, nobody talks about responsibility. Oh, it's my right. I have the right to do this, to do that. Nobody ever talks about responsibility. I have the responsibility to pay my taxes. Nobody says, I'm paying my taxes because it's my God-given right as a citizen of this country. You don't hear that. You just hear me. That's your proof of yourself. That's the end result of the proof of that. And that's what it's all about.
But women are being trained to be independent, have their own career, so society is training them not to be submissive, not to be a housewife is looked down upon in this country. And if you have a lot of a career, you have a positive social position, then the women are looked highly upon.
First of all, there is no such thing as independence. This is a total illusion brought on by materialistic consciousness. There is no thing called independence. There is nothing dependent on. Are you dependent on Krishna, or are you dependent on the most material nature? So this wouldn't be a really independent. It never existed, it never will. And then the second thing, which is around this age, it's about social position. The social position has always been the prerogative of the woman. If you see these passive roles and stuff like that. I think men will find exactly the same suit for the bow tie and stuff like that. But women are basically like, it's all about the women. Everything in the social sphere is about the women.
It's certainly not what causes it to just look different genders. Who knows what's going on there?
But the man is getting all that from the social scene without, you don't have to be head of state or something like that. That has nothing to do with that. It is just a place where you get people. Like, that's what it means for the politician. Everybody is just looking for you, you know? So, because everything has been kind of mixed up, it seems like the only way out is independence. I must be more in control. But that's what you were saying before. That's the illusion. But I mean, that's what we think will get us out. But that just gets us even more entangled. And then we go through the process on that. So the good news is that you only have to think about yourself in this matter. Because if you are able to leave this group alive with the aid of some chanting and some sincerity, then everybody else will be attracted to you because you will be all peaceful. And that's what people need. Because in this world of 50 genders, people are just stressed out by anything. Nobody knows who they are, what are they doing, and we want the respect of the ground, we want the facilities of the chakras, you know, the influence of the chakras, the facilities of the branches, and the plant of the responsibility of the sugars. And but we cannot get all these things because we're not born. That's basically what it comes down to. So, if we can just take a step back and become a little fancy by chanting and like doing some spiritual activities, then we will see that this actually doesn't affect me. It may affect my conditioning, but it doesn't affect me. Does that make sense? Well, you don't have to change the whole society. You can just say, okay, I'm not. That's why when people talk management to me, I just run for this. And in my world, the hills are a long way away, so I'm gone. You know? I just want to be. It has to be done, and I can't expect those to do it, and luckily we're in a situation where we have to do it, it's for being to do that. And I think that I'm actually doing quite well, and I'm very happy on the one. That's just my personal condition, you know. So, yeah.
Actually, Steve Moses is invigorating in class as I've heard in a long time, so thank you very much. There's many points that I wouldn't mind discussing, but I'll keep one question, and I think it's very simple. You said why is 4 times as strong as it is. You said a couple of times, I've never heard that, so you might share the reference so that I can use it.
Unfortunately, I have this combustible form, so I'm not sure about the Quran. I think that now for you, you know, you have to answer that, and of course, then. Okay, you see this?
I want to share another topic from where I came in, because if you realize the desire,
I've
had a great discussion with my hands on this. Specifically about why we're living in our society. And the industry is the public. You had mentioned that we should perform the internal cyber hyper in terms of getting up and turning our minds to people sending out people with their heads. So my question is, in order to describe the situation of the person who is unsatisfied, okay, so I'm doing good, you know, I'm unsatisfied, because the binding force of the world of our goodness is binding the sense of happiness and the sense of knowledge. So, a person is as devotees, as specifically women who are involved in the who also become very complacent and think, I'm doing good, I'm living well, I'm doing some service. I don't know how to take care of my children. So a sense of complacency and apathy can also develop. So what would you suggest as a solution so we don't become complacent? You said we must at least have a hoping. Can you give some practical tips and suggestions how to develop that thinking and to go over that apathy and complacency?
That's a very good question. It's something that seems to happen in your mind, but sometimes you get devotees and they kind of almost fall into the cracks. Suddenly you realize, I haven't seen this devotee in 2 months, and what's better, and it's just apathy, complacency, or surrender. I've been wondering about this myself. It's a difficult thing because, on one level, this is the spiritual world. So you are doing good if you're here. You need to be here without the blessings of Mahaprabhu. But it's also sometimes almost as if it's a little too merciful, you know, because at least I'm from a Western background. My motivation usually comes from passion rather than greatness, because that's just my conditioning. So we can walk around here and float a little bit on the surface of the realm, and suddenly if one day takes the next, and I don't know, because on one level, if you are giving up from the mountain, you're chanting around, or maybe you're even attending the Bible sometimes, you're only eating prasad, you're doing some seva here in the realm, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. But if you're starting to sit, and you're starting to not get up, and you're starting, then of course that's a problem. Maybe it's actually an issue for all of us to be a little more aware of if someone maybe in fading out or what is happening. I mean, one woman was here, she just left, and suddenly realized that it had been over a month and I hadn't been to my garage, and I just hadn't, because there's like 500 doors at my garage, so I didn't think about it. And then suddenly, oh, wait a minute, and he was actually going through a little bit of a rough time. And it's just that they're always everywhere, so you don't really notice so much. In a small temple, he'd be like 20% of the guys that are going to go easily, once out, so everybody notices, so they will come and say, I vote for blood over. And yeah, that's something that we have to be very aware of here, because it is so easy. You know, it's like the place of brass of chanting, so it's very easy to be here. It's very, very equal common going on. I feel it when I go to the rest of the feast. It's not a feast and a feast when I die in the airport. The heavenly consciousness is just, but here we can just, you know, it's very, very nice. Every step is a dance and every word is a song.
So I don't understand why you put another thing, you know, between the mind and body and between the realms, because precisely what makes us complacent and take our mercy for granted. Because the mercy is what is found here.
Yes, and but it's also a matter of what consciousness are you doing it in, because it can become kind of like an automatic thing. Maybe you're thinking about so many things. My daughter actually uses this example.
What in the meditation?
What is for breakfast today? So I will be there. Are we chanting Hare Krishna or are the lips just moving? We have to be conscious of it also. So if we just slip into this kind of mode of goodness, and we're not actually really there, then we can go the other way. In the middle, drag it down. Very slowly and subtly, but it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's a tough one. I won't pretend that I have kind of like the easy answer to this, but. That's really good. Thank you so much. And also, you're talking about the Sambandha. My guru Maharaj, and I'm a kind of song, he's very much on what we do. So we can just say yes to the rules. Whatever they ask of you, whatever they say, just say yes to them. So there are more opportunities to serve. Recently, we had an extra feast, and this is one of the only ways to go and serve. It's just, you know, an hour on the day, we go and serve, and that's it was very, very inspiring. I didn't have to do it. Not many kids, because it's just a thing you don't have to do. Someone else will do it if you don't do it. All those things, that's something I often get a lot of kids out of. I'm studying a lot. So this, not only service, serving the staff, doing something, that actually gives me a lot. So it doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, it's just some small thing where you're active for Mahaprabhu and for the devotees. Then I can get a lot of sales actually, and I can still get a lot of sales from that one hour, a couple of weeks ago. She likes it. Thanks. Okay, we keep going. Take the part of it. Then after that, we have one for the real.
Well, I want to just add something to this.
Yeah.
Sacrifice. Sacrifice yourself for others. That will help you to go on this complex matters. Just like you say, but on the only high level, you are always meditating how to help others.
Yes. That is actually the only sacrifice. The question is, are you going willingly or unwillingly? So if you want to help yourself, you're going willingly. That's why we need to work. This is all the responsibility because they know this is how it works. But that's not honest. That is not really important sometimes. And so sometimes we're just not important. But that's the point of
Please,
there is 41 verse from Hemant Gita, 5 colorings. No, it's not the verse, it's 13.5. 13.5. Honestly, I forget the verse. Anyone remember the verse now? No. Anyways, it's in the purple. Prabhupada is describing this cancer portion. It's the 5 colorings. It's 5 levels of Ramandri. It's Yes, exactly.
So that is all the material elements Thank you.